Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I'd like to welcome author, filmmaker, researcher of everything from our ancient origins to the secret space program and the controllers of our planet, Jay Widener. How you doing tonight, Jay?
I'm doing really well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. And since it's your first time on the program, could you give us a little bit about your background and just what brought you down your current path?
I've always been a curious guy, but what really was when I discovered a cross in the south of France, and it had a strange inscription and some drawings or etchings on the cross, and I decided to decipher it. And after years of working on this project in my spare time, I finally did decipher the cross, and it was talking about a disaster that was going to happen in the future concerning the sun. And so after that, I wrote a couple of books with Vincent Bridges, and that kind of set me on another path, and I began making films. And then I launched the Stanley Kubrick work, and that seemed to be the thing that pushed me over into big popularity and side interests also. And so that's pretty much my career. It's been 30 pretty amazing ride.
Very good. Yes, it sounds amazing. Now, there's so much that we have to talk about. There's a lot going on right now. So many people are awakening to what's going on. And it seems that the things that we're awakening to, it's kind of like a matter of we're just remembering who we are. Is that something you would agree with?
We're kind of in a dangerous place, because clearly the internet giants are beginning to censor us and kick their accounts and things. So I think we're going to have to come up with an alternative eventually to some of the tech giants in order to preserve our freedom of speech.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot going on with censorship right now. They're just trying to shut down, you know, what they would label as conspiracy channels, conspiracy sites. You know, they completely shut down Alex Jones. It seems like they are just terrified of what we could find out.
Well, I mean, I think you can take it as a rule. I believe it's Weishaw, that which they're trying to hide is closest to the truth. And I think so those who are being censored and the stories that are being censored are clearly the ones that are censored. So in a way, it's kind of a filtering system that we can use to figure out what is really true and what isn't.
Wouldn't you agree that it's unfortunate that psychopaths are the ones that rule us, that rule our world, and they feel they have the right to rule through their bloodlines and through their history? Isn't something that you'd agree with?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that they're I know that, and this is a new thing for me, and it's one that I've had to thought about for years, but I'm just now starting to really get my head around it, mostly because I'm being convinced by my friend Cliff High that it's true. And that is the fact an alien race invading us, and they made themselves to look like us, and they're teaching like us. And it appears that this may actually be true.
Yes, I had Cliff on recently. We briefly discussed that. I need to have him back on so we can talk about that a little more. That's very, it's fascinating and disturbing at the same time to think that we could be, have been taken over for ages by a different alien race.
It is. And I was reading a doctor about this, and that was pretty convincing. I think the new one is They Walk Among Us. And it's about how these abductees are forced to teach these aliens our habits, and friendish. But as you think about it, you realize that if you really were going to invade a planet and you didn't want to do it violently, and know you were doing it, that this would actually be the way to do it.
Right, yeah, and it's slowly taking us over when most of us would be none the wiser about it. Now, something else that I would like to talk about is the fact that the elites pretty much use magic to rule over us. And this is something that they've suppressed from our knowledge for ages, the fact that they use knowledge, they use magic against us, and our world was full of magic back in ancient times.
Yeah, they've been using that on us for a long time. It's in every way. I mean, it's no accident that the English Empire started at the same time that William Shakespeare started. So they're using theater and language as organizing theater and language in preparation for taking over the world.
Right, definitely. Now, we're speaking of advanced civilizations. How advanced do you think some of these ancient civilizations, like pre-flood, pre-disaster, how advanced do you think these civilizations were?
So Graham Hancock has a new book coming out in April called Before America. And this book is going to be showing that the United States, or America, I mean, was the center of a very advanced civilization that disappeared in the disaster that happened 13,000 years ago that nearly wiped out all life on Earth. And so I think what we're talking about is a civilization that uses different kinds of technology, not like ours. And so they're more like resonance and harmonics, the nature of their technology. And with that, they could levitate stones and fly through the air and on ships and go up to other planets. And it was different than what we use. Our technology is toxic and a throwaway culture, whereas their culture was long-lasting. And I think Joseph Farrell, talks about it best, actually in his books, Giza Death Star, which he talks about how the pyramids at Giza really are resonating devices that can actually even blow up a planet, and that the Great Pyramid itself was such a dangerous weapon that they literally had to remove the capstone and blow it up to prevent it from being used ever again. Amazing stuff.
Very amazing. Now, do you think that we were given this knowledge of this technology by possibly otherworldly entities or interdimensional beings or even off-planet beings?
Yeah, I think that there's been interactions, both interdimensionally and probably interplanetary. And I think that we were a much more advanced race 100,000 years ago or 200,000 years ago, and that we've fallen way, way down. And I think you can blame the catastrophe that happened 13,000 years ago on this demise of the human race. And we've been trying to climb our way out ever since, but we got clobbered so hard that we never really have recovered, and we still haven't.
Right. Now, the ones that control us now, it seems like these elite bloodlines sometime in our distant past may have made some kind of pact or arrangement with some of these entities for power or knowledge of technology or both. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you're talking about like the secret space program, yeah, they've gotten some of that technology from off-world, I think. But a lot of it was created by geniuses like T. Townsend Brown and Nikola Tesla and those kinds of people. So I think there's a lot of highly intelligent people. There's a lot of stuff that's being suppressed and hidden. And I consider that my main goal in life is to get this stuff out because I think it's the only stuff that can save us.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to get into the secret space aspect and a lot of things that are going on now. But I'd also like to talk about in the past. So our current rulers, they've had the same bloodlines for centuries. And would you agree that they basically set up our system as a slave system with, you know, our religions and our monetary systems?
Yeah, I mean, it's the pattern is, of course, that you pick, you know, 13 ruthless families and you make them the point where you're giving the orders to those 13 families, and then they have to carry them out throughout the world. And they don't even know why they're being told what they're doing either. So there's another force beyond the bloodlines that's ordering the bloodlines to do these things. And, you know, proof of them trails, you know. Why would the, or even nuclear war and nuclear weapons, why would the 13 families that supposedly rule our planet, why would they, you know, take a chance on a, you know, submarine captain, the whole boatload of nuclear missiles, right, and causing radiation to kill even the Illuminati's families? And so there has to be another order even beyond the bloodlines that's giving orders. And and if you just do a bare assessment of what these 13 families are ordering the Pentagon and everybody to do, again, you have to come to the conclusion that we're being replaced by somebody else. And it's a quiet replacement, and it's an alien race is invading, and they've picked the number one. They've done their assessment, and they've picked the number one enemies out first to be eliminated, and those enemies are now being eliminated, and until they either have replaced the entire population, or part of the population. Now, Richard Dolan, he thinks that 18% of the population is going to have everything. They're going to have extended life. They're going to have super intelligence, wealth beyond belief. And that the other 85% are just going to be working for them as slaves and stem cell donors. And so if that was the case to get rid of us, it's in their interest to control us. So, but when I look at they do want to get rid of us, or at least a big chunk of us, but what I really see kind of systemic unbalancing of the human biological chemtrails and GMOs and the pollution in the air and EMF and all of these things are slowly going to destroy the human race, or maybe quickly actually being invaded. That it would have to be an alien race telling the 13 families what to do, and of the 13 families of itself, which would be total proof that this is an alien invasion of some kind, and families will pay the price at the end.
So they're sort of like terraforming our planet right now, possibly for this new species that they're trying to integrate into our population.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that, as you probably noticed, there's a lot of confused people nowadays. They're right. Confused about their gender, and they're confused about who they are and everything. And again, if you read Jacob's books on, and this guy's no piker. I mean, he's got a school. If you read his books, you can see that one of the number one ways to recognize one of these invaders is they're confused. They're confused about basic human things. It will walk up to you and show you their cell phone and ask you what it is. Well, what is this? And you say, it's a phone. And you'll say, well, what's a phone? And they say, you know, you call people. And they say, well, why do I want to call people? You know, and you get in these weird conversations with someone, and you're not sure if they're trolling you or not, right? Richard Dolan tells a story of a woman who's very psychic, and she was in a restaurant, and she saw a couple in a booth, and they were the woman was eating her soup with the knife, and she was really startled by this, and she started watching this couple very carefully, and she noticed that they were very awkward. And then all of a sudden she realized that she could hear them talking to each other telepathically. And one of them was saying, you have to use the spoon, not the knife, when you eat soup. And then the other one would say, why? Say, I don't know, because that's the way humans do it. And then they looked over at this woman who was actually in tune with their conversation, and then he looked back at his woman friend and said, that woman over there is listening to us.
Wow.
So, you know, and supposedly they have a hive mind, and they can telepathically, you know, communicate with each other. And Cliff High has this, I think it's his theory, pretty wild theory that 5G is being implemented to destroy the telepathic abilities of these aliens, which is, I don't know if it's true or not, but it is a wild theory. And so, you know, again, this would explain kind of the aberrant behavior that we're seeing around us. Why are the same politicians that just, you know, 10 years ago or less wanted to put a border up and wanted to pass all these laws on immigration reform now completely against all of this? What changed in the 10 years? Why are they now same people now open borders and for no security at all? And, you know, I'm not talking about open borders or closed borders. I'm talking about why they changed their minds so completely. What happened? And again, you have to start wondering, what is really going on around? Why are animals washing up on the shores of Southern California by the drove suddenly? What is happening? And And the answer is we're either committing suicide or we're being, and I can't tell which is which anymore.
Right. Now, where do you think our current administration falls in this? I mean, do you think our military-industrial complex is aware of what's going on? Are they a part of it? Have they been assimilated already? And where do you think Trump falls into everything?
Well, I mean, I would think that they would have to be, unless the aliens they probably did. They would pick the biggest threat and invade that first, if you're intelligent, right? So they probably did pick the military-industrial complex for the first part of their invasion. And if you look at some of the, you know, the early stories of aliens and things, it's always dealt with people that were in the military, right? Even Barney Hill was in the military. So you start seeing that there's a strange military connection to this alien invasion story. And then you have to wonder, okay, why isn't the military, who's supposed to protect us, doing anything about it? And, you know, that answer may shake you up. I contend there probably is a faction within the military-industrial complex that realizes what's going on and is trying to do something about it. Where Trump stands in all this, I have no idea. I think that he's probably interested in this in some way, but I don't know. I really don't.
Now, I know Cliff had, he said that he believes that these are insectoid beings. And, I mean, their right. whole way of...
He believes that the very top...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you're going on, yeah. They believe that they're at the very top are these mantis insectoid beings, and they have a hive mind, and they're the ones who are creating these hybrids or hubrids, as Jacobs calls them, come in and take over. And then when we're all wiped out, the insectoids come in and the planet is theirs. And I don't know if this is true or not. I do know that there are a lot of stories of these very bizarre mantis beings, and they seem to have an overwhelming telepathic presence, at least the people who have experienced these things have said. You know, there's so many weird stories and things, and at a certain point you have to start believing them. And we're also living, you know, at a time where they have perfected, the United States military has perfected invisibility. A great book, Project Camellia, I forget the guy's name who wrote it, but a great book about how this equipment works and how they use it and how they can be right in the room with you and you would never know it. And it makes total sense. The technology, you know, if you had enough money, I could make it. If I had, you know, enough money to make many prototypes, it's just a camera monitor system that's turned into a suit. And it's not hard to understand at all. So they have it. I guarantee you they have invisibility. And so that means that there could be stuff flying all over the skies and we would never see it. There are certain fingerprints that this Project Camellia, these cloaking devices have. And so you can occasionally catch a glimpse of one through, it kind of looks like the Predator, the movie Predator. Remember how he would kind of float in and out of visibility?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you can kind of sometimes catch these cloaking devices working. And people, there's a YouTube thing called Skywatcher, and occasionally they'll catch something going through the clouds, but it's invisible, but you can kind of see it. It's weird. And so we really don't know how much is actually really going on around us. And another thing that's happening, and this goes back to my original research, on the cross of Henday and its promise of an impending catastrophe, is that that the Cross of Hende explicitly says that this catastrophe is going to be the result of our planet interacting with the sun in some way. And I have for years thought that the sun was going to have a coronal mass ejection, and that was the interaction. But as I studied the electric universe more and more, and I realized that the sun is actually a gigantic ball of plasma, I began, you know, looking into plasma, and I don't know if you've ever seen a plasma ball, but it's got the plasma inside, and then when you finger on the glass ball, the plasma shoots to your finger and moves with your finger across the surface of the plasma ball. And in the electric universe theory, occasionally the sun will blow out a tube of plasma which will hit the planets, especially their inner four planets. And so in this theory, the Grand Canyon was not made by erosion. It was made by a gigantic plasma strike. And I've flown over several times the Grand Canyon from 40,000 feet. And if you've ever seen a lightning strike, you know, hit a boulder or hit the ground, it looks like a mini Grand Canyon. And so the Grand Canyon actually does look like a gigantic plasma strike, which must have been like, you know, the force of 80, 50 megaton nuclear bombs, right, to blow that. And what's interesting about that is there's a scientist, Anthony Peralt, I think his name is. He works down at the Los Alamos in New Mexico, and he's a plasma scientist, and he was working with plasma forms and shapes. And then one day he went out and was looking at some art shops in the Southwest, Indian Native American art shops, and he saw their, you know, the curious textures and designs that they have on their rugs and on their tapestries and on their clothing, and he realized that these were indeed plasma signatures. And these Indians, these Native Americans, live where? Right near where the Grand Canyon is. So did they witness a gigantic plasma storm at some point? When did the Grand Canyon plasma event happen? Also, there's a giant valley on Mars, which looks exactly the same way. This valley, which I believe is the deepest valley in the solar system, looks exactly like the Grand Canyon, exactly like a lightning strike. So I'm beginning to reshape my theory on this catastrophe, and I'm now wondering if there isn't imminent danger of another plasma strike. And the reason I'm saying that is because, as you probably know, the magnetic field is collapsing on Earth.
Right.
And that was our protective layer, and it's gone. And so now we really don't have anything for this plasma. Say we're getting hit by plasma stuff all the time, but it's bouncing off the electromagnetic layer. Now we don't have that layer. And so we're going into uncharted territory right now. And I think, I mean, if I don't know where you live, but I know where I live, the skies have gotten strange in the last year. Definitely. And I'm not talking about chemtrails. I'm talking about very weird cloud formations, strange mist in the high up in the sky, square clouds, which I've never seen before.
Right. Yeah.
And and I'll tell you here another thing. That this is probably going to piss a bunch of people off, but I really don't care. I was looking and been investigating this whole plasma thing pretty thoroughly, and I started thinking that maybe, okay, whatever you want to say about chemtrails, it seems far-fetched to believe that some government agency is telling jets to fly and spray chemicals all over the place and that they could keep this a secret. Whether you believe it or not, you have to admit it's far-fetched. It's a far-fetched theory. We see the stuff in the sky, though, so we know it's there. So what if the falling electromagnetic field, which is ruined 25, 30 years, but it's really revving up right now. What if the falling electromagnetic field is causing the ion of the water vapor coming out the rear end of jets and literally electromagnetically freezing it into formations where it's very difficult for it to break up because it's bound together magnetically, the water vapor. You understand what I mean?
Right. That's a very interesting thought. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as the fields collapse, we're going to see more and more of these ionized contrails. We think that they're chemicals, and they may be. I mean, we don't know really what is coming out of exhaust. There could be barium and aluminum coming out of exhaust. So I don't know. I'm kind of rethinking a lot of things, of previous things that we thought were happening. Maybe they're more akin to a result of this plasma universe that we're starting to discover that we live in. And I don't know if you know about the work of Trevor Constable, but he was a New Zealand guy, and he had infrared and ultraviolet cameras, and he would take pictures of the sky, and he'd find all these objects in the sky that you couldn't really see with your naked eye, and they looked like fish and amoebas and things. And he was hard-pressed to describe what these were. And other people have done this research, too. I also have this kind of equipment, and I'm doing this research. I've actually seen these critters up in the sky. I call them sky critters. And I believe that they're also made out of plasma. And they're translucent, and you can only catch them at certain times of the day and with certain kinds of camera equipment. You have to get lucky. But they're kind of all over. So we're living in a kind of a universe where most of the stuff that is around us has eye, but it is invisible almost completely. And so when people do like yoga or Tai Chi or any of these kind of practices, what they're really doing, they say they're gathering a force called Chi, but what they're really doing is they're gathering up this plasma energy that's all around us. And the more plasma energy you can bring into your body, the better health you will have and the longer lived you will be.
Yes, exactly. And I have noticed strange anomalies in the sky the past few years as well. There's a lot going on. One of the things I cover here is Earth changes. And our planet is going through some major changes right now, even besides the shifting magnetic field. There's a lot going on with their changes. And, you know, what you said, it does make sense about how the sun could be causing plasma reactions with us. That's very fascinating.
Well, yeah. And also think about kind of the craziness that's going on in the world right now. Is it possible that, since we never really lived in a world where we could communicate across countries, the last time that the electromagnetic field collapsed, is it possible that people are losing their minds with the protective layer gone? We're being bombarded by so many different, you know, synchrotron and gamma rays and all the things that we used to be protected from just a few years ago, we're now no longer protected by. And also, the sun's electromagnetic layer has collapsed, and the sun's electromagnetic layer was also acting as a protective sheath for our planet, as ultra galactic bombardments were stopped by the sheath of the sun, and now that's disappeared. So we're getting a double whammy, not just losing the sun's magnetic field, but commensurately we're losing our magnetic field. And this may be the double disaster, the double catastrophe that the Cross of Hende is talking about. And again, they say on the Cross of Hende that the only place that you can escape this is in a cave. And I would think that a gigantic plasma event would be so shocking and so loud, and the electromagnetic radiation tents that really and truly the only place you could really go to get yourself away from it would have to be under a lot of rock.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to think that, you know, with all the evils going on in the world, that this could be some kind of reset that we're headed towards to kind of cleanse all the crap that's going on.
It really could be, and you know, this whole thing is just the beginning of a field that we're only starting to understand. You know, Tesla got zapped one day. He was working and he accidentally touched a transformer, and he got zapped by 3 million volts. And it hadn't been for, you know, a technician who was on the job who turned the machine off instantly. So he only got hit for like a half a second. But Tesla later that night was talking to a journalist, and he told him about it. And the journalist said, well, what was it like to get hit with 3 million volts? And he said, I saw the past and the present and the future all happen at the same time. So what happened there is that Tesla actually discovered how to create a portal. And he realized that heavy and huge amounts of electricity cause a tear in the time continuum. And then we go forward to the emergency shipbuilding that they had to do in the early 1940s for World War II. And they invented, in order to weld the ships together quickly, they invented the arc welder. And the arc welder was this really hot, bright welding device that used huge amounts of electricity to weld metal together quickly, because they were in a war and they had to get these ships built. And what they discovered during the shipbuilding process was that all metal equipment, like wrenches and pliers, would disappear. And they thought employees were stealing them in the shipyard. They're stealing this equipment. Right. And so they started watching and tagging the equipment. And the equipment was literally disappearing. And they couldn't figure it out. And then so they brought in Tesla and T. Townsend Brown, two of the greatest geniuses that the world's ever produced. And they immediately saw the arc welders and said, you produce this much electricity, you're tearing holes in the space-time continuum. And of course, the first thing that we're going to go through are anything that's metallic. And that began the very beginning of the Philadelphia experiment, where they began to, you know, use this technology to even make a ship disappear. And this is the thing, is you talk about a reset. Well, if a vast amount of electricity can cause a rip in the space-time continuum, and what would happen if we got hit by one of these gigantic plasma streams? And would it create an entire tear in our own space-time continuum and just completely remove us from where we are? And it would be like literally starting over, but also starting over in a new kind of time, different kind of time, where maybe we live longer. Maybe a second is really an hour. An hour is really 100 years, something like that. And so, you know, once you start looking into this whole physics of plasma, you begin realizing that, for instance, when people see ghosts with aliens, abductions or whatever, one of the first sensations that they talk about is the hair on their body standing up on end. And that's electromagnetic field. So is ghost encounters and alien encounters, are they actually just tears in the space-time continuum? Does this explain the missing 411 people? They're just walking, hiking through the woods, and they happen to walk between two rocks, which just happen to be spiking with ice piezoelectric person just disappears and finds himself 10 miles away up on top of a mountain. Is that what's going on here? I think so.
Now, that could also, you know, bring the idea that we live in sort of a multi-dimensional universe where there are many different timelines occurring at the same time. Is that something that you think could be a possibility?
I do. And I think that what time travel could very well be is the ability to create vast amounts of generate a vast amount of electrical power concentrated in one spot, and you can actually move through time, and but time is not like a linear thing. That's why it seems so impossible for a lot of people, Cliff High, to travel as possible. I think that time is actually a bubble that moves with through space. As our planet moves through space, this time bubble moves with us. And all of time is inside the time bubble. So you can, with the right devices or psychedelics or certain kinds of meditations, you can actually move around inside the time bubble. And sort of clean prophecy and when people remember the past, a little boy that remembers being a fighter pilot, and then they go out and he meets all these guys in their 80s that he served with, and they talk about each of the battles and all the things, right? All these things begin to make sense once you understand that the Earth has a time bubble around it, and this bubble is electromagnetic in nature, and so when the timelines alter, every time you use the Earth's electromagnetic time bubble, you change the timelines for the future. So if I tonight decided I wanted to go back to Atlantis and somehow used the time bubble to go back to Atlantis for a couple of weeks and come back, then now there's been a slight change in the Earth's magnetic time bubble from that moment on. So then you began realizing that things like some of the things in the Mandela effect might be real. Some of them are actually just bad memory, but some of them are actually really strange and can't be easily explained away. And so I think that we're only now beginning to grasp these larger concepts, that electromagnetic fields and plasma are actually, because remember, when Tesla got zapped, he saw the past, the future, and present all at the same time. So what he did was he pierced into the time electromagnetic time bubble, and he saw everything, because everything is always happening in the time bubble. Your past, the day you were born, your first birthday, the day you die, all in the time bubble. And so, yes, we're altering timelines, and the military-industrial complex is playing heavily now with this electromagnetic time bubble, and I think that it's just going to get very, very strange.
Very strange indeed. And now getting back to the topic that we could be possibly being taken over gradually, it would make a lot of sense when I think about the transhumanism agenda and the way technology is going to kind of zombify us. It would make sense that it would be easier for us to be taken over that way.
Yeah, it knows about this event that's coming. Right, and they know this is their shot at taking over the planet, and so they're softening the ground, say, with these hybrids that they're moving in. Right, the hybrids are going to be sort of like the communist radicals in the Russia Revolution. They did all the dirty work, and then as soon as the revolution comes, they're the first people to get killed. And so the hybrids or the hubrids are making us weak and confused, so that when we need our strength the most, which would be during this upcoming event, we will be at our weakest. So, you know, it's nobody is, look at the deficits. You know, we're at $25 trillion deficit. Actual deficit is really more like $100 trillion. It's as if they know that there's no future. And so they're just blowing the wad and they don't care. And I think that more and more I look at it, the more it just feels like we're being weakened by an external force. Because why would we want to weaken ourselves? We should only be interested in strengthening the human race, every one of us, because, well, if we're stronger, then we're all stronger. But if we're all weaker, then we're weaker, and therefore it's easier to take us over. And again, I don't think the Russians are doing it. I don't think the Chinese are doing it. Although I do think that the Chinese may have a closer link to these invaders than any other race or people on Earth. And so the Chinese may be doing the bidding more for this race of invaders than anybody else right now. And again, the Chinese may not even know the ramifications of what they're doing either. They may just be doing it for power, just like we were doing it for power. And as long as we, you know, as long as we're able to be controlled by power, it's going to be pretty easy to control us.
Now, is there a particular reason you think the Chinese may be closer to this than anything?
Well, yeah, my buddy Anthony Sanchez, he wrote UFO Highway. He's a really good researcher and a good writer and super up on technology and where it's going. And he's seeing not only huge technology transfers going to China, but China is literally building, I'm going to forget it now. What was the name of the Skynet? They literally have built a Skynet, satellite ground links, run by an AI. And his contention that China is going to be the first country to be almost completely run by AI, and that he thinks the AI is this alien invading race, that the AI is being used by them to control us. We're already being, you know, the China has the social credit system. You know about this?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Okay, you jaywalk, you get, 10 points off your social credit score. If you get a low enough score, you can't buy food or rent an apartment or drive. Well, we've got our own social credit thing going right now. I mean, David Icke can't even fly to Australia anymore.
Right.
People are losing their jobs or being doxxed for innocent reasons. They're just an innocent person, and all of a sudden they're finding, that their social credit scores are being destroyed, that their employers are being contacted and told not to hire people. There's like some seriously crazy stuff going on right now. And again, you'd think if you didn't know better, somebody was trying to create a civil war here in America. And again, in whose interest would a civil war be? If the left is involved in a civil war, they're really not fighters, so they're not going to win. If the right gets in a civil war, they're going to get a lot of people killed. So why is there anybody in their right mind encouraging a civil war? Well, it would be in the right interest of the insectoid invaders to do that and to create as much chaos as possible for the earth. And so, again, I hope I'm wrong on all this, and that, you know, part of me wants to be optimistic and think that things are actually getting better, and we are solving problems, and they are getting better. I don't want to stop. I want to make sure everyone understands that, you know, things have gotten better. There's fewer people dying in war. We have the internet at our fingertips. Our biggest problem is not starvation, but obesity. So, you know, but again, are these part of the control system. When I was watching the Super Bowl, and it'll probably be the last Super Bowl I ever watch, because I don't watch TV, and so I watched it with my friends, and I saw the ads on. I had never seen any of these ads. I hadn't seen any ads, actually, for years. And I was absolutely horrified by the ads. They were ugly, stupid. They were MK Ultra. I felt like every single ad was some kind of programming to try to get me to believe something. And I'd never seen such an uptick in the mind control as I saw on the ads during the Super Bowl. And it so nauseated, I couldn't even finish the game. I was like, ugh, who wants to watch this crap? And so, again, everywhere you look, you see that we're being mind controlled, or the movies, which I'm a great, huge movie freak, but movies are no fun anymore because every movie is a propaganda piece.
Right.
So the control is pretty high. Yeah, and filled with negative symbols.
Right, yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of my take on things.
Definitely. And now, that being said, with all of this happening, do you think we have a chance? Where do you see us going in the next 5 years? And are we going to have any help getting out of this? What are your thoughts on that?
Anything can happen. The past is prologue. What's in the pinjet? The time-space bubble has not been written for the future yet. Anything can happen. People are waking up. There is a return to common sense. I think that certain political groups in this country have shown that they actually really don't like our country. And I think that's becoming kind of evident now, that the major media is actually the enemy of the people. I think that's becoming evident now. And so I think if we can keep expanding that kind of thing, changing the media, not letting them censor us, creating alternative networks that don't get censored, like Gab, and DTube, then I think the blockchain technology is, you know, you can't censor blockchain. Everything goes down in the log. So once we have a YouTube that's based on blockchain, and DTube is based on blockchain, then there will be no more censorship, and these fragile tech giants will die the death that they deserve, and we'll be liberated. But for now, we got to keep the fight going. We got to keep the fight going, because the opposition has now got their legs back under them, and they're starting to swing back, and they're hitting us with some haymakers, and we should be wary of this.
Definitely. Now, Jay, that was an amazing conversation and went in some directions that I wasn't expecting, but it was awesome and fascinating. There's so much more that we have to talk about.
Well, good.
I'm going to have you back on again to discuss so much more that we could talk about. So,
sure. Jay,
I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
You bet. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay, and we will talk to you again soon.
I hope so. Bye.
You have a great night.